Turn with me to John 20. Hallelujah. You know when you're ministering, you know when it's you. And you know when it's not. Say, I know when it's me, and I know when it's not. And I know that there was a verse in here somewhere that I was looking for. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There it is. Glory. You know, and she made mention, welcome. She made mention of what happened last week. She made mention of you know, because basically we didn't have any intention for the things that came out last week to come out, but it just did. And I'll tell you what, the Lord just said, move over into this spot. As soon as I moved over into this spot, I mean, she was just like, boom, right here, up in my face. And it was like, bam, 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 bam. But I can tell you, I could see, I could feel it. I could see the change happening. I could see something happening. And I began to realize after the service was what was happening was there was a restoration that was happening in my heart because there was something that dropped off. Something that changed and then something that dropped off of me. And because I could feel cleanness that I had not felt before. I could feel a cleanness in me, and I'm not talking about some cleanness from the things that you shouldn't, but I was talking about a cleanness. What it really came down to was a cleanness from a spirit of religion. See, religion has dropped off. I'm not talking about the judgment type of religion, but the religion that keeps you in a box and keeps God confined to doing it this way. Because if God's confined and he can only do it this way, you're only going to release so much. But if God can be released to be who he is, now you can do whatever he says to do and go where he says to go. Why? Because it's a joy to do those things in him. Because it's a joy to walk with him, and it's a joy to receive him, because that is what gives you the opportunity to release transformation. It's what gives you opportunity to release and be transformation. Hallelujah. How many know that God didn't come to just save you, he came to change you? It's not about just getting saved, it's about being transformed. Hallelujah. You know, this move of God, I believe there's a move of God that's happening here. And it is what we choose to allow it to be. How we choose to allow it to happen. But see, the past moves of God have always been about your sin. This move of God is not about your sin. It's about his invitation. Because he wants to invite you to a new relationship. He wants to invite you to a new intimacy. He wants to invite you to a new strength. He wants to invite you to come to a new place with him. See, this call is going out. It's not just going out to the lost. It's going out to the church because it's time for us to awaken to what we've been seeing, to awaken to what he's been saying, to awaken to what he put in us because he's already established it. It's a time for the church to grab a hold of it. I know I told you to turn to John, but if you go to Ephesians 5 with me, I want to pick that thought up for just a second. And just hold your place in John because we'll get there sooner or later. Hallelujah. But Ephesians 5 holds a secret for you. Because I said this, but I want you to look at it, okay? And right here, hallelujah. Verse 25. And we like to hammer people with this at a marriage ceremony. But see, there's more to it than that, okay? Right, Justin? There's more to it than that. Hallelujah. It says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and blameless. Guess what? If people preach that is that, you know, God's coming back for this church that's holy and without spot and is blameless. They preach it, God's coming back for this someday, sometime. But I'm telling you, it's today. When the moment you got saved, this is how he saw you. And it doesn't matter when he saw, when that moment was, if it was 5 minutes ago or 50 years ago, when you got saved, this is what he saw in you. That's time for us to rejoice and recognize and begin to come into identity with what he already said as you. It is sometimes difficult. See, because they present it in such a way that he's going to do this, but he did that. This moment was accomplished when he rose from the grave. This moment was accomplished because that was the purpose of the resurrection, was to release this over you so that you could do this and so you could stand in the fullness of what he already achieved. When we don't have that in our life, then we're subject to shame, we're subject to pain, we're subject to condemnation, all those things that the enemy wants to accuse us of, and many times we kind of come into agreement with. You know, self-condemnation is nothing more than disagreement with the enemy. We need to recognize we have an opportunity to step into agreement with what his plan is. You're holy without blame. You're holy without blame. Say it with me. I'm holy and without blame. It's my identity and it's who I am. Hallelujah. Doesn't it feel good? Doesn't it feel good? Because see, if we begin to see it and hear it and we begin to believe it, it's going to change the result of our life. It changes the result of our life. See, God didn't come. He's not trying to just leave us where we were. Back to John 20. Glory to God. I have no notes here, okay? I'm doing a new thing. Say, he's doing a new thing. I have no notes here. I'm just letting him fill me up during the week. And now whatever it comes spilling out, that's what you get, okay? So the more you pull, the more you're going to get. And I can tell you, I have at least 2 weeks, and about 3 weeks of messages here. So just let it pour. Whatever you can take, it's going to happen. It's not up to me now, because I'm letting God say, I'm putting him on notice and say, it's up to you what you'll pull and what you'll receive. Hallelujah. Because we have to learn how to receive. We have to learn how to receive. We have to have an emphasis on receiving, because God says that this movement of God is something that has to be received. Let it settle in your belly. Let it bubble up in your belly. Let it bubble up and bubble forth, right, prophet? We let it bubble forth out of your belly. Out of your belly. I can remember when my grandbaby was like 5 months old, and we were giving him a bath, and I was like just grabbing his belly and like, let it bubble up out your belly. Let it bubble up out your belly. And he was just laughing and laughing. It was great. It was great. I know it has nothing to do with nothing, but it was letting a bubble up out of his belly. Why? Because I'm going to prophesy over that young man. I'm going to prophesy because there's something that God has already planned. He was born on the National Day of Prayer. That's not an accident. And I'm going to keep prophesying until it comes forth. Hallelujah. Let it bubble up out your belly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Here's the disciples. See, here's where they were found. Now, we think that walking with Jesus for 3.5 years, man, I've been walking with Jesus for 3.5 years, and I've been rubbing up against Jesus the whole time for 3.5 years. Would you like to be in Jesus for a moment? That's awesome. Hallelujah. Just for a moment. Hallelujah. You be Jesus all the time. That's the whole message. Just be Jesus all the time. Hallelujah. We're rubbing up against Jesus. We think that, you know, they were ready. Guess what? That ain't what happened. Ain't what happened. Look here. Verse 19 of John 20. It says, therefore, when it was evening on that day, what day? The day after the resurrection. That day. On the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut, the disciples were, for fear of the Jews. Let's see. And when the doors were shut, where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews. For fear of the Jews. They were locked up. They were hiding. They were hiding. Why? Because they knew what was out there, but they didn't know what was in here yet. They knew what was outside, but they didn't know what God had placed inside yet. So they were hiding for fear of the Jews. Hallelujah. But see, there was something that we've been talking about, which is the Lord began speaking to us at the first of the year about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, about being baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire, baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire, because there's something that happens. There's a transformation that happens in that moment. See, it's not just about repentance. It's about transformation, because repentance is for a moment, but transformation is for a lifetime. That's why this move of God is about our transformation into what He said we can be. It's about our transformation into the character He said we can have. It's about our transformation into the identity He says that we already are in. Hallelujah, because that transformation will change a nation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So look what happens here. Flip over to Acts 4. You see, and Acts 4 happens after a certain event in Acts 2, where the Holy Ghost and fire began to fall on them. So the Holy Ghost and fire began to fall on them. Now verse 13. Hallelujah. Now as they observed the confidence of Peter and John, and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, they began marveling, began to recognizing him as been with Jesus. See, something happened when they got the Holy Ghost and fire. Something began to happen, and now they began to recognize what was on the inside. They began to recognize that Jesus was on the outside before, but now I have the opportunity to walk with him in the inside. And then I walk with him in the inside, that gives me the confidence to begin and do with what he said I can do. Begin to release what he said I am. Begin to demonstrate, and we see it here in a little bit, to begin to demonstrate who he said he is. Hallelujah. You know, my anticipation for these services is for all of us to be changed by the touch of God. For all of us to be changed and have our hearts released by the touch of God. But I will not be one bit surprised when miracles show up to go along with that change. When miracles show up and give evidence of what God is already doing in somebody's heart, in somebody's mind, in somebody's body. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 31, and when they had prayed, they were gathered together. The place where they gathered together was shaken. When they were gathered together, the place at Father's House Church was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the Word of God with boldness. Boldness. See, there's a boldness that comes from the Word of God. There's a boldness that comes from the Spirit of God inhabiting inside of you. And you giving it attention. And you giving it honor. See, we want to honor what God is doing in our house. We want to honor what He's doing in our life. We want to honor what He's doing in our spirit. Hallelujah. But it comes with an ability to receive. It comes from an ability to receive what He's doing. Now, He just showed me something that I really, part of me, the old man, still don't want to do. Why? Because there's a vulnerability in that spot. Okay? But I'm choosing to let him do what he wants to do. I'm choosing to let him do what he wants to do. See, I have 5 gifts up here. So I need 5 volunteers. I need 5 volunteers. Come on, who else wants a gift? These things are representative of a gift. First, okay. Hey. Okay. All right. You're a little afraid? And I'm not going to do the choosing. I don't know which gift is in what bag. I want you to pray, and I want you to go and pick one of these gifts. You can go now. Hallelujah. There's 2 left. There's 2 people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But you know what? It's time for the sheep to outrun the shepherd. You know what? My mentor used to say, show me your dust, okay? Show me your dust. All right. Open your bag. You got the light. Okay, good. Good. You're going to have more light. Okay, I'm going to explain these in a moment. Open your gift. Three marbles. That's it. There's no more than nothing. There's nothing else there. Okay. Open your gift. All right. It's a tape measure. Steve will be excited. Hallelujah. All right. There you go. There it is. That's a $20 bill. That's the one we're looking for. Hallelujah. Oh, how appropriate is this? How appropriate is this? A Hershey's chocolate. Because nothing says love like chocolate. Hallelujah. All right, guys, you can say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Each of these gifts are something the Holy Spirit showed me, okay, several weeks ago. Last week I was obedient and got the stuff, okay, was ready to do it, and then God had a different idea. Now, I'm way good with that. Hallelujah. But see, each of these gifts represents something. See, the three, but what I want to ask you before I start explaining the gifts, was anybody disappointed in their gift? Okay. Even if you were, you wouldn't say it, were you? But see, what I wanted you to convey to you is it doesn't matter when you've given something to someone. How they receive it is up to them. How they receive it is up to them. If I give you a word of prophecy, and what you do with it is up to you. What you do, how you begin to respond with it is up to you. And whether or not you give it, whether or not you accept it, whether or not you receive this gift, it's not any more or longer about me in that moment. My moment is to give you the gift to the best of my ability and sincerity and in love. So when we give you, so every gift that we get, every gift we get, see, is a moment of recognition of what God is doing in our life. Every gift that we give is a moment of recognition for what God might want to do through us. And that doesn't matter whether our gift is a gift of service or a gift of love or a gift of provision. It doesn't matter what that is. When we learn, we see, because it takes the ability to receive in order to give. See, gift giving is not something that comes easy for me. And she says I'm good at it. That's because I study it to try to make it perfect. Which comes out of a place of fear and shame. Because see, when I was in kindergarten, there was an incident where I was invited to a birthday party. And I took a gift, and the gift was totally just opened and then literally cast aside. And in that moment, that little kid, you know, he had no idea, but I took it as rejection of me. I'm new to this school. That particular school, we were only there for a couple months, okay? But to me, this was a big life-changing event. And the reality was, I let that rejection dominate me. Because I haven't been to a party for school since. I let it dominate me. Why? Because not because of the shame that I felt over that situation, because of the rejection that I felt in that situation. And I can here to tell you, I didn't have to let that response be what it was. I didn't know any better in that moment. I didn't have anything to tell me and to show me, but I can tell you that there's a God who's out there and he's telling us you don't have to stay in the place of shame, no matter what the situation was, no matter what you did. Even if it was you who violated the situation, you don't have to stay there in that shame. You don't have to stay in the rejection of another. And if they choose to reject the gift that you've brought them, then that's on them, not on you. When you offer something up out of your spirit, when you offer something up out of your kindness, when you offer something up out of your labor, when you offer something up out of your goodness, what they do with it is up to them. I don't have to walk in the shame of that. Hallelujah. Let me explain the gifts. Three marbles. Restoration of innocence. See, it takes innocence. When he said, come to me as a little child, what he's saying is, come to me in the innocence of who I created you as. Come to me in the innocence of that I created in you. And when you allow him to bring you into the restoration of innocence, it's a restoration that he's bringing to you. And when, in every moment, when we get saved, that's a moment of restoration of innocence. We don't always recognize it, but that's what it was. When we recognize, when he brings you into righteousness, that's the innocence. See, there's a place that we come to him in wholeness and in innocence. This last week I was with my grandbaby on the Friday night and Saturday, and it was so heartwarming and so touching. But there was a moment where grandbaby was carried off in the other room because he wasn't responding to the command that he had been given. And I could hear my son in there going, one, two, and Grayson looks at him and says, buckle my shoe. Buckle my shoe got him a reprieve, because all Aaron could do was just hug him and love on him and draw him close. Hallelujah. And you heard all this laughing and giggling coming from the other room. He was going there to get disciplined, but now all of a sudden it's just laughing and giggling. Why? Why? Because the innocence of the child gained him favor. The innocence gains you favor. Hallelujah. Truth. See, the measuring tape is truth. Because nothing can truly be measured without truth. It's truth that brings us into sanctification. It's truth that sets us free. But see, we can't properly measure anything unless we're measuring in truth. When the world tries to tell you that there's no absolute truth, it's an absolute lie, because that's the only reason that it allows them to justify things that are ungodly and unholy. But truth allows us to measure the way God measures. Truth is what he came to restore. It says, the word says that in John 1 and 17, that he came to, and truth and grace were realized through his coming. Truth and grace were realized, and it was released because he came. So it's a matter of standing in truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The provision. See, it's time for the church. It's time for the church to recognize the grace of provision, like she was speaking about in the offering. It's time for the church to quit being weird about money. Time for church to recognize that, you know, the world goes around by money, and if we're going to have a place in the world and be an influence in the world, we're going to have some money to accomplish it. So we need to quit being in some high, pious, holy place that keeps us from recognizing the truth of what God is doing. Because, see, all that is religious garbage. It's religious garbage. No, I'm not saying that somebody needs to, you know, that you'd use your Christianity as a way to manipulate somebody, because God's never into manipulation. That's not truth. It's not love. But I am saying, let's be real. Let's be real in our faith. Let's be real in our pursuit of God. Let's have our heart totally after God so that when we have the money in our hand, we can do what's totally after God with it. And when we do that, then we can no longer, then whatever you're accumulating is no longer about you, but it's about those you're ministering to. When you can have a heart after Him, now that releases the fuel for the combine to be after Him. It releases the fuel, but see, we have to, as a church, we have to begin to set a tone with the rest of the world where we're not afraid of these things. So it's a provision. It's an emblem of God's provision over your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh. Tape measure light. Oh, the light. Yeah, the light. You know, a little bit. The light is a ministry. See, the light allows you to see within your own heart. The word in Psalms 36:9 says that by the light we see, by His light we see light. By His light I can now identify what's in me that comes alongside Him. By His light I can identify what's in me which might need to go. But whatever it is, see, the light allows you to be able to measure correctly by the word of truth. Because the light allows you to see, and it allows you to cast aside that's not which is not Him. Guess what else the light does? The light begins to establish the king and the priest in you. Go with me to Psalm 27. Golly, I was hoping to get to 1 Corinthians 13 because we want to know what love is too. But want to know what love is? Want to have a contest? I think you'll win, but that's okay. I'm all right. Just say it with me. I'm all right. Oh, my God. The time is flying away. The Lord, Psalm 27, verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. See, the Lord is my light and my salvation. What is that speaking about? That's speaking about the king and the priest in your life. He's speaking about the king and the priest. Why? Because everything he begins to say now is a releasing of the strategy of God for your life. Light reveals strategy. Light reveals strategy, and it's the operation of a king to put strategy into place. But it takes a kingship and it takes a priestship to get into that place where you belong. See, because the priest will draw you in to his presence. But it's the king that stays and lingers until strategy is revealed. See it? Yeah, I'll show it to you right here in the Word. Verse 4. One thing I've asked from the Lord, that shall I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. This is the part of the priesthood. To behold the beauty, to basically just look upon the beauty, to be able to look upon Him. What is that word beauty? That word beauty is His delight. He's delightsome. He's pleasant. When I begin to understand He's delightsome and He's pleasant, I can begin to look at Him. Also, the word means favored. Beauty means favor. And so when I look at Him and I have a vision for His favor, that can change me. See, I go into God to be love and to become love. This journey that we're on is an awakening of the love of God for us so that the love of God can be released through us. That's the next one too. Hallelujah. I'm going to do it all at one time. Hallelujah. So the light and the love come into unity here in this scripture. To behold the beauty of the Lord. To understand His favor. To understand His grace. To understand His splendor. That's what that word beauty means there. To have an understanding of having a likeness with it. And then it says, then to inquire or to meditate in His temple. Why? Because that's where strategy is released. As I begin to inquire as I begin to meditate, as I meditate and spend time with the Lord, now He can begin, His illumination begins in my heart. The light comes up in my heart, and whatever issue I might have needed to let go of, I can let go of in His presence, in the pleasantness of His presence. And whatever issue I might need to be aware of, I can begin to see with an eagle's eye before I get there. So I'm no longer walking into the trap and the scheme of the enemy. Why? Because He prepared me by His light. And He got me into that place by His love. Hallelujah. I did all that in one shot. Good job. Hallelujah. Well, because His love is His preparation. His love is His communication. It's the place where we find God. It's our interface with God. When we learn to receive in love, when we learn to receive in love, when we're learning to interface with Him. That's the whole purpose, the whole thing that He's drawing us into here, so that we can begin to reflect Him everywhere that we go. So we become that light that illuminates the world around us. We become that light that sheds itself into the places around us. One of the things I really delighted in, hallelujah, you know, when you speak truth, you have to speak it in love. You have to release it in love. But it's necessary. You know, if somebody just comes and you have an issue and they just come alongside you in the issue, they're not doing you any favors. But when you release it in love, the one thing I delighted about when we had the birthday celebration was all the people who began to testify that of how I, addressed their issue. I didn't shy away from addressing the issue. Because if you don't confront the issue, it's not love. To let you stay in darkness is not love. If you have an issue and I come alongside you and I just let you lean on my shoulder and cry, but I don't address the issue for you, if I don't release truth, I'm not a friend. But if I release truth into your life, I give you an opportunity to excel the situation. I give you an opportunity to supersede that which the enemy had planted for you. I give you an opportunity to come into an alignment with God's word over your heart. Hallelujah. We're coming into a day of maturity. We're coming into a day where God is releasing His heart to the ones who will be mature enough to align themselves with Him. I see a new maturity coming in Tina here because she released a word last week that very few people would touch. I see a new maturity coming in my own heart and my own belief system because God is doing something and I'm just willing to be vulnerable in front of you because I want to set an example that you'll follow. Because if I can be vulnerable enough before you, if I can change, believe me, we're going to all change. Hallelujah. I know where I've been. I know where I've been. Some of you are like, I know where you've been too, Pastor. We were hanging out at those places too, Pastor. Hallelujah. I know where I've been. But I know what God can do. I've seen what God can do. And if He can do it in Pastor Chuck, He can do it in you. If He can do it in Pastor Chuck, He can do it in me. Say it with me. If He can do it in Pastor Chuck, He can do it in me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I think we're going to have to conclude on that. I got lots more. Man, I'm just getting started. Huh. The chocolate is the love of God. It's the love of God. We've been talking about the love and in combination with the light. Because see, in 1 Corinthians 13, in 1 Corinthians, chocolate is love, baby. It is love. One day soon, I want to explore 1 Corinthians 13 with you. Okay? Because it not only tells us what love is, it also tells us, if you look carefully, what love is not. And if I can identify what love is not, then I can identify what's not me. So I want to just put that out there. That's where I was hoping to go today, but I got anyway. But you know what? Because if I understand what love is, I can understand who He created me to be. Because I'm created in His image, and He is love. He is love. And He created me in that image of love. And so anything that's in me that's not in agreement with that image, that's the chaff that has to go. Now, maybe that thing protected me for a while. Maybe it was comfortable for a while. Maybe it's something I could snuggle up inside for a while. That's what chaff is. It's that covering over the seed before it's mature. But when it comes to a time of maturity, I can stand forth in the fullness of love. It's time to stand forth in the fullness of love.